Welcome to Planet Local Voices from the Local Futures podcast. In this series, you will hear from a wide array of voices who came together in 2023 to build a global movement for local economies worldwide. This episode features Kabor Oiwa. Kabor is a professor, an anthropologist, and a widely respected philosopher and organizer in Japan. Along with David Suzuki, he co-authored a book about bottom-up movements for peace, human rights, and environmentalism called The Japan We Never Knew. He is the co-founder of the Sloth Club, an NGO that promotes slow and sustainable living. The Sloth Club, coupled with Kabor's book, Slow as Beautiful, Culture as Slowness, have fostered a new appreciation of rural life and a simpler way of living. From Planet Local Voices, here's Kabor Oiwa.
Well, I'm Kabor Oiwa. I'm from Japan. I have been involved in this localization movement for many years, and to me, this is one of the most important parts of my life as an activist. I believe in localization. I think that's the way to go. So, and also, I'm a cultural anthropologist by training. And I have been trying to sort of bring culture, cultural aspect and the ecological aspect together. Because I have seen this trend, very strong trend that, people who are concerned with the social or cultural issues, they tend to ignore ecological issues, environmental problems. And so to me, what we are experiencing now is not just an ecological disaster, but it's a cultural disaster. It's not only desertation of the land or the earth, but we're going through cultural void, and the spiritual void. It's a crisis. I mean, this void is killing us, killing our children, killing our young people. So these two aspects are closely intertwined.
Kabor explained how he sees this eco-cultural crisis playing out in Japan.
We were a kind of champion of Westernization, Americanization, and globalization. And people tend to think that Japan is the, champion and the winner of this process. We are well-to-do, we are wealthy and, very successful. But I know very well that this success came with tremendous, horrifying loss. And that's what I mean by cultural desertation. We're going through this spiritual crisis. Our children are harming themselves, or isolating themselves. They kill themselves, And adults, too, they don't know what to do with this situation. And, of course, life is becoming harder and harder. The gap between the rich and poor, widening ever. And poverty is really increasing rapidly. But on the surface, everything is fine. It's well controlled by education system, media, And people still buy this, notion or illusion that everything is working all right. We are one of the global, leaders. So last 30 years, I have been exploring Japan and rediscovering keywords, you know, basic notions that could be very meaningful to green Japan again, you know. I wanted to mention some of the keywords that I have found. But also, I'd like to encourage people from all over the world to also do the same, to dig in and, you know, like find some cultural inspiring notions, concepts that have been ignored or replaced by Western notions. We talk about the democracy and social justice and the ecology. These are all Western concepts, no? But if you look closely, we still have cultural notions that talk about democracy, what, you know, Westerners would call democracy, grassroots, traditional, and it's been alive. Now it's really deteriorating, but it's still there. And the sense of social justice and, you know, and ecology. I mean, Japan is so rich culturally in ecological wisdom. For instance, 300 years ago, there was this man, philosopher, farmer, and doctor, Ando. His name's Ando Shoeki. He's a kind of forefather of Fukuoka and Kawaguchi, the natural farmers, right? His philosophy has been lost largely, you know. At first, it was sort of that kind of a thinking was very dangerous at that time, you know. So he was repressed, oppressed, and his books have been burnt, you know, and lost. But we are now still discovering his lost, you know, writings and stuff. It's amazing. It's, to me, a Japanese version of Gaia theory. You know, he uses the word chokko. Chokko means direct cultivation, which means not only humans, but the insects and, you know, trees and the grass and animals, and even earth itself, soil itself, is regenerating itself. It's alive, and it has its own intelligence, and it's always generating and regenerating itself. And he uses a term, jinen, shizen. Shizen is known as a translation of the word nature, English word nature. But actually, original concept means something very different. And the closest translation would be self-regeneration. Like, you know, autopoiesis, you know, autonomously, spontaneously regenerating itself. And also, Ando has his version of dialectics, you know, like a seeming oppositions actually come together, get together, and fuse and dance, you know. That's the reality, he says. It's not each, you know, substance is the reality. This relationship is the reality. So I have been very interested in this relational philosophy. Probably not just in Japan, in China, in Korea, you know, like East Asian, or maybe related to Indian philosophy, ancient philosophy. So that's one example. So we have to dig in, and we have to rediscover these sort of indigenous endogenous, right? That's the word, endogenous cultural keywords to guide us. Of course, you know, Western concepts are, of course, very important. Scientific endeavors still very relevant. But when we combine these two aspects, I think, you know, we will be seeing light.
Keibo paints a portrait of two Japans moving in opposite directions. While on the one hand, political leaders and vast swathes of the population continue to chase after so-called progress and westernized development, others are getting in touch with their intuitive wisdom and rediscovering other values and ideals.
We have been so thoroughly uprooted, you know, nearly, I mean, really many people are lost. You know, we are so urbanized for a long time. Now, I think more than 90% of people just live in quite big cities. And elites, you know, wealthier people, they rush to this high-rise, you know, apartment buildings. They call it smart city or compact city, you know. That's their version of localization, you know. But anyway, yeah, in that sense, it's the situation is really bad. I don't deny that. But at the same time, there's a very strong trend now among the younger generation to leave all this story, this, you know, framework. Sometimes physically going to the countryside, but sometimes rebuilding communities in the city. And they've got some sort of central themes. And one is food. You know, food is a very, very important part of Japanese culture. And we have lost a lot. You know, like Americans, when they came as occupational force after the war, they really deliberately tried to destroy Japanese food, you know, Japanese cuisine and Japanese habit of eating. And they tried to replace it with bread and butter and, you know, milk. And really, they did it. So we have been quite uprooted, even from this, you know, food habit, but still, we've got lots of positive things, and people can react to it still quite strongly. And there's a hope in there. And for instance, one of the most popular movements, activism, in Japan today is organic school lunch. Last year, was it? Yeah, last year, 40,000 people gathered for a meeting. I mean, that's very unusual, you know, these days. It's massive. And these people are all very, very keen, and they are activists, not just spectators. And national government is still kind of slow, but regional governments municipalities are really, you know, going forward with that. So, of course, that will encourage, you know, organic, more healthy farming, right, to thrive. Because we are still very, very behind, you know, like only less than 1% is organic. Still. Yeah, that's one thing. And also, there's a very strong trend of people moving to rural areas, but they're not just nearby places. You know, like young people tend to go to very, very far places, you know, and find small village, you know, that is sort of underpopulated. I mean, a lot of young people have left, and but still those are the places where local knowledge is. Some places barely, some places a little bit more, you know, strongly. So, and a young generation really find this kind of encounter, this sort of discovery, really pleasurable. They really enjoy it. And by living there, moving there, they start to create a new sort of cultural resurgence, you know. There's a word, cultural creatives, right? So they are, to me, cultural creatives. And also education too. Japanese have been very, very keen on education. During the feudal time, you know, like Edo period, which is from 1600 to 1868, those 260 some years, right? I think we are the first in the world to come up with schooling, you know? Not the setting up a school, but children will go to places and start learning, right? So we were the most literate people in the world at that time, right? Anyway, so we are still concerned about the education, and the education is really became so competitive, as you know, like examination system, and children are really suffering, you know, and many kids refuse to go to school. So there's a strong kind of a free education movement in Japan, right? So agriculture, education, many places, they are combined. There are schools now, new schools, that combine, that include the farming practices as part of a curriculum. So these are really great examples. And they are trying to kind of heal themselves. Because last 10, 20 years, when I was teaching at the university, more and more young people come with mental problems, you know, spiritual problems. So they are now desperately finding sort of exit from that.
That interview was recorded in September 2023 at the Planet Local Summit in Bristol, UK. To get notified about new episodes, subscribe to our channel or sign up to our mailing list via localfutures.org. Also find on our website a vast collection of resources for education and big picture activism to shift the economy from global to local. And of course, we hope you'll tune in to other inspiring thinkers and movement leaders featured on the Planet Local Voices series. Until next time, thanks for listening to Planet Local Voices from the Local Futures podcast.